Good morning, church. My name is Sibongile Ngala. I'm one of the members of the life group led by Emmanuel Yawa here in Vonavelli. I'm going to read for us Psalm 76. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. His abode has been established in Salem, his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the flashing arrows, the shield, the swords, and weapons of war. Selah. Glorious are you, more majestic than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were stripped of the spoil. They sank into sleep. All the men of war were unable to use their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse lay stunned. But you are to be feared. Who can stand before you? When once your anger is roused, from the heavens you uttered judgment. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to establish judgment, to save all the humble of the earth. Selah. Surely the rod of men shall praise you, the remnant of rod you will put on like a belt. Make your vows to the Lord, your God, and perform them. Let all around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared, who cuts off the spirit of princes, who is to be feared by the kings of the earth. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Mom Sibongile, for reading that Bible for us. It's an opportunity for us now to pray. Just before I pray, my name is Eddie, and I'm going to open God's word for you. So let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can look at your word, and thank you that we can see who you are and your great love for us. Please help us see that with our eyes, Lord, and help us trust you. Amen. All right. So you guys won't believe this, but you are the church. That's a little joke. Okay, you guys are still not with me. The people, God's people is the church. And from the beginning, we have been under pressure from the outside. If you look in our history, the book of Acts is full of the church being under pressure. If you look in modern times, people would think about pressure like the church in, China, serious persecution. But I think for us, especially coming from the Western world, there's growing more and more pressure on us. And it's actually the description that you can find. There's quite a bit of a hatred towards the Christian faith. And so when we gather together like this as a church, when we go away on our last weekend revive, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like coming home. It's like spending time with family where we're all like-minded. That's why it's such a great joy to be together. Revive was such a joy because we could just be together and we could share everything. We could ask any questions. People could talk. It's like being at home. You can kind of let your hair down. That's why Monday morning when you come back to work, it's like you open the door and that Arctic breeze hits you and the pressure is on again. And the idea there is like the world is really pressurizing in on us. And so Psalm 76 is actually a psalm that's for us, for you and for me, to bear under that pressure. If you look at the context of Psalm 76, it's Israel, the nation of Israel, or actually Judah and Jerusalem. The superpower of the day is the Assyrians, and they have swept over the world, the known world, like a wave, like the sea, and destroyed everybody in front of them. They came into Israel, they destroyed Israel, they came into Judah, and they destroyed everything except this town called Jerusalem. And what has happened is the king of Assyria, or not the king, but the general and his armies is all around Jerusalem. All around Jerusalem, and we read about that in 2 Kings. Let me read you just a little bit of what happened in 2 Kings chapter 18. The king is around. Two envoys, two guys were sent out to go and speak to the king. And this is what these two guys says to the king, verse 26. So these guys say, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Do not speak to us in the language of Judah within the hearing of these guys on the wall. But the general said to them, has my master sent me to speak these words just to you and your master and not to the people sitting on the wall who are doomed with you to eat their own dung and to drink their own urine? So that's pretty hopeless. Imagine you sitting on that wall and you're hearing that guy speaking those words. You know what he's done. He has swept everybody away in front of you. Now he's coming to you guys and says to you guys, listen to me, come out. I'll give you life, or stay inside there and you'll basically die. You'll eat your own dung and drink your own urine. The pressure's on. Psalm 76 is penned at that time. It's actually a war cry. It's a psalm of war, telling the people where true hope is. True hope is in their God and not in this barbarian, Assyrian. Anyway, as Christians, we face a similar, a different kind of army. It's a different kind of, it's not the Assyrians, but the call is exactly the same on us. They're at our gates, and the war is for you and my soul, and the pressure's on. It's the same pressure, it's the same words. The world shouts at us and says, come to me, listen to me, and you will have life. If you listen to the Lord, if you listen to your Christian faith, there's only eating your own dung and drinking your own urine. There's only death there. So the pressure's on us. And the question is, what will we do? Who will we listen to? I don't have to tell you this, but at the work environment, you guys are in the work environment, the pressure's on. The pressure's on to conform to what the world wants you to do and to stand for them and not stand for the Lord's ways, which is righteousness and justice and truth and honesty. There's a few people here that I know that have taken that stand as a Christian in the work environment, and they are suffering for that. They are really taking strain for that. So as Christians, we are pushed and pulled by the world in all sorts of directions. And the war is on. The war is on for our souls. But we can take heart. We can really take heart, because Psalm 76 is a war cry. It's our war cry. It's a reminder to you and to me that the Lord is the one whom we need to fear. Him alone, and with him there is true peace and true joy and true life. So let's look at Psalm 76. Psalm 76 is 12 verses. It's got four paragraphs of three verses each. And right off the bat, let me tell you what Psalm 76 tells us. It tells us as Christians that we can trust the Lord because the first one, he's with us. The second one, he fights for us. The third one, there's no one like him. He alone is to be feared. And the last three verses is he's the one who brings us home. So those are the four headings we're going to look at Psalm 76. If you have your Bible, it would be very helpful to keep it open in front of you, because I'm going to read for us quite a bit from that. All right. Verse 1 to 3, the Lord is with us. Let me read for us. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. His abode has been established in Salem, his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the flashing arrows, the shields, the swords, and the weapons of war. And then that word, Shelah. It's a war cry. And it's a war cry. Starts off by reflecting on who God is by his past actions. That Shelah is an idea for you to stop and to reflect. So after you hear who God is by his actions, you have to stop and reflect. And then after that, you have to take your next step. So that's the idea there. So in verse 1, God has decided in his wisdom to reveal himself through this nation called Judah. All the nations around them had many gods and had many names. But if you wanted to know who the true God is, the great God is, Psalm 76 says, You'll find him in Judah. Amongst God's people, he is known. Why? Verse 2 and verse 3. Verse 2, because he dwells with them. And verse 3, he brings them peace. So if we look at that verse 2, that's Zion and Salem. Those are just two words describing the same town called Jerusalem. This idea of that abode or that dwelling place, the idea there is of a den, of a lion's den. Now, if any of you have been close to a lion's den, if you're outside and you're not a lion's cub, it's real danger. You do not go close to that. So the idea there is do not enter. Danger. But for those inside, there's peace. There's safety. So the Lord is known and he's great because he dwells amongst his people and he makes them safe. How does he do that in verse 3? How does he bring them peace? Verse 3, in the past, he's destroyed all those weapons of war. Those flashing arrows, those flying arrows, those shields of war, he has destroyed them all. Now, the idea there in verse 3 is not just that the Lord has stopped the war for now. The idea is amongst his people, war has stopped forever. There's peace there. There's shalom there amongst God's people. Why? Because he is with them. The Bible's word for the Lord with us is Emmanuel, isn't it? So that's exactly what happened. God is amongst his people there. He tells them not to listen to the Syrian. Isaiah is also with them, tells them not to listen to the Syrian. Listen to the God. Asaph is the guy who writes the psalm. He says, trust in the Lord. He is the one you know. He's the one who dwells with you in your history. He's the one who makes his den with you. He's the one who makes you safe. He's Emmanuel. He's God with you. So, trust him. And so what do we read in verse 19, in chapter 19 of 2 Kings? Actually, the Lord goes out and he delivers the Judah and Jerusalem from these Assyrians. But it's only for a short time. Because we read later on that Judah forgot about the Lord. And then a few years later, the Babylonians came and utterly destroyed them. So what happened to that promise in verse 1, 2, and 3? Well, that promise points to the deliverance there, but it also points forward to a future deliverance. Many years later, we know that a child was born, and he was called Emmanuel. And he was also called the Lion of Judah. The one who came to make his dwelling, his den with us. He's the one who came to make us safe and to give us peace. So that's the first idea there of Psalm 72, the first paragraph there. The idea there is when we're under pressure, remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He is Emmanuel and he is God with us. And he's given us peace. All right. That's the first three verses. Let's look at the second three verses. That's the war cry proclaiming God's greatness, his glory, his majesty. And he's great and he's majestic and he's glorious because he gives us life by taking away or defeating death. So that's the idea I got up from those three verses. Let me read for you verse 4. Glorious are you and more majestic than the mountains full of prey. The stout-hearted were stripped of their spoils, and they sank into sleep. All the men of war were unable to use their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and his horse lay stunned. Now, if you were a hunter in those days, if you were a hunter-gatherer, you probably used a bow and arrow. You had to go out, and you had to kind of look for your food. You had to shoot your own food. And it's not easy. Bows and arrows, maybe 25 meters maximum. Now imagine this hunter goes over this hill, and in front of him there's this mountain full of prey. What does he say? He says, I can live here. My family can live here for a long time. Look at all this food. Verse 4 says, the life that the Lord brings us is even more majestic than what that hunter saw when he came over that mountain. More majestic. Why? Because, verse 5 and 6, anything that can take that food away, that life away, has been destroyed. Have a look at verse 5 and 6. All the enemies of Judah has been destroyed. All those guys who were shouting to you on the wall that if you don't listen to me, you will die, you will eat your dung and drink your own urine, they've died. Have a look at verse 5. The stout-hearted, they were stripped of the spoils of war and presumably returned to Judah. The skies, they sank into a deep sleep. That means death. Verse 5, the men of war, the very people who are trained to kill, to take your life. What happens to them? They are unable to use their hands. The very thing they are trained to do, they cannot do. They cannot bring death. Verse 6, the horse and the rider, they are rebuked at the Lord's hand by the God of Jacob. Now, the horse and the rider in those days were the weapons of war. They were the U.S. naval carrier, aircraft carrier of the day. What happens to them? They laid stunned. That's like that ship sinking to the bottom of the ocean, that U.S. Navy ship. And what does it do there? Nothing. Cannot do anything. Cannot be revived. That's the idea that these verses bring out to us. The point is, the Lord brings life when he's with you by taking away anything that can take it away. By it's life without death. Now think about that. Where in the Bible have you heard that word, life without death? Isn't that eternal life? Isn't that the good life? Isn't that the abundant life? It's a picture, a small picture of heaven. Heaven is defined by being with God, and hell is being defined as being without God. So what does the Lord do? He dwells with us, and he brings us life. So let's recap those first two sections. The Lord is with us. He is great. He's known amongst us because he dwells with us. He brings us life and peace. Now think about that general. Think about the world and the whispers and the pressures they put on us every day. The world says life is here. Follow me. If you follow, especially in the Western world, the Christian faith, well, there is only death there. You'll end up eating your dung and drinking your urine. But Psalm 76 says no, emphatically no. The Lord is with us, and with him, the Lord Jesus, with him, there is abundant life. Despite what you hear from the wall, despite what the general shouts at you, the abundant life is with the Lord because he's with us. He brings us life. So that's the first two sections of that war cry. The third one is from verse 7 to 9, and it says, fear the Lord alone, for there is none like him. He will bring justice. That's what verse 7 to 9 brings us. Let me read it for us. But you alone are to be feared. Who can stand before you? When once you raise in anger, your anger is aroused. From the heavens you utter judgment. The earth feared and was stilled when God arose to establish judgment, to save all the humble of the earth. So verse 7 tells us there's a right and a wrong side to stand in front of the Lord. And those who fear the Lord stand on the right side. If you stand on the wrong side of the Lord, there's no more dangerous enemy than the Lord and his consuming fire. Who can stand there? No one. The book of Proverbs tells us that the wise man stands on God's right side and the fool stands on his wrong side. A wise man finds a way of escaping that consuming fire, and a fool doesn't. On that day of judgment, verse 8, when the Lord opens the books, when he utters judgment from heaven, all the earth will be stilled. No one will be able to say a word, because on that day, no one will be able to point their finger at the Lord and say, what you're doing is unjust. Justice will be done, and the whole world will be silent on that day. They will be in awe, in fear of him, and awe of his judgment. Verse 9, on that day the Lord stands up in judgment in order to save. Look at verse 9. God arose to establish judgment in order to save all the humble of the earth. We are not without sin, human beings. The wages of sin is death. We deserve that consuming fire. Psalm tells us only those who stand in humility before the Lord will be saved. Who are they? Well, a great example is that thief who hangs next to Jesus on the cross. The one utters rebukes on Jesus. The other humbles himself and says, I deserve where I'm hanging. This man doesn't. And he turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, have mercy on me. He humbles himself before the Lord Jesus. And what does the Lord Jesus say? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. So there's only one safe place, these verses tell us. And that is in humbleness before the Lord. Understanding who I am. A sinner. Deserving God's righteous judgment. Only thing I can do is plead for mercy. Your humble obedience, picture of someone on his knees praying before the Lord. Someone who fears the Lord and the Lord alone. For he is a consuming fire. And you do not want to be on that receiving end. Only the humble who throws themselves on the Lord's mercy will escape that fire. So that's so far Psalm 76. Psalm 76 is a reminder that the Lord is with us when the pressure's on. It's a reminder that the Lord fights for us. He gives us life. He gives us peace. It's also a reminder that there's no one like him. Do not stand on his wrong side. The final little section we're going to look at, the final three verses, verse 10 to 12, is this question about how do you get in? And the real answer, or the right answer, is the Lord. The Lord brings us home. He brings us into his family. Let me read for us verse 10 to verse 12. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. The remnant of wrath you will put on like a belt. Make your vows to the Lord your God and perform them. Let all around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared, who cuts off all the spirits of the princes, who is to be feared by the kings of the earth. The key there, the key of getting in is verse 10. Let me read it for us. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. That's weird. That's a weird sounding. That doesn't sound right. But that's what it says. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. The remnant of wrath you will put on like a belt. They may help us. It literally says when men are at their worst, the wrath of men are at their worst, the Lord is at his best. The Lord will wear the wrath of mankind as a belt of honor and victory. Think about a boxer. That belt he gets, that's a belt of victory. The belt of victory that the Lord wears, literally that verse says, is the wrath of man. How does it work? Well, let's go back to 2 Kings. What happened is the Syrian army was defeated. Not by Judah and its army, but by the Lord. On the belt of the Lord is that victory. He alone saved Judah. He wears that victory on his belt as honor. How he saved his people. The wrath of man, he wears it as a belt of honor. But that's not even the worst of man's wrath. That's not the pinnacle of God's, of mankind's wrath. Verse 10 points to a day when mankind's wrath was way worse than that day, where it reached the climax. On that day, mankind, us, with all our glorious wrath shouted, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus on the cross is the pinnacle, is the top of our wrath, of mankind's wrath. And you know what Jesus wears on his belt? What does he still have with him this day, reminding of that day when mankind's wrath reached its pinnacle? Think about it. What is still with us? Think about doubting Thomas. What did he say to Thomas? Put your hands here and there. Today, if the Lord Jesus Christ is with us, you could put your hands in those holes. Today, he wears those nail marks and that spear mark as a belt of victory, where mankind, where we were at our worst, and he was at his best. That is the way in. The way in, verse 10 says, is when mankind's wrath was at its worst, he turned it around and he used it to save us. Verse 10 says that if you trust that, if you trust in that action, your actions will show it. Have a look at verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 is that. Verse 11 says this. Make your vows to the Lord your God and perform them. Let all around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared. If you trust the Lord, you will pledge your allegiance. You'll make your vows to him. I trust you. And what is that rest of the verses? You will perform them. You will act them out. Another way that we think about this is Jesus says to his disciples, you will know my people by their fruit. You will know if you are my child by the fruit you bear. So the way in is the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. If you want to know if you're a child of God, look at your actions. Look at Judah's actions. What did they do? Who did they believe? Despite what was in front of them, an army that decimated everyone, they heard the words of the Lord, despite what they saw in front of them, and they trusted them. They didn't open the gates, and the Lord saved them. The way in for us is the Lord Jesus. And his belt that he wears has got the nail marks. It is his nail marks in his hands and his feet and in his side. Despite what the world shouts at us. So, one day, there will be a day when every knee will bow before him and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. On that day, the Lord will thunder from heaven with all righteousness. The wise will be the ones humbly standing next to him. The fool will be the other one standing on the other side. On that day, the whole earth will be still, because the Lord will utter judgment that day, and no one will be able to show any wrong. For now, you and I are living on that wall. We are hearing that pressures coming at us. Those words, listen to me, life is here. Do not follow the Lord. There is no life there. For now, we have to look at the Lord's actions, and specifically the actions on the cross. Because on the cross is where we truly see that God is with us, that he is Emmanuel. On the cross is where he defeated all our enemies and brought us life. On the cross we see that he and he alone is to be feared. He alone is to be worshipped. On the cross we see that belt, that glorious belt, those nail marks and that spear mark. And the Lord Jesus says to each one of us, put your hands here. Put your hands here. Stop doubting and believe. Under pressure, when the world pushes in on us, Psalm 76 tells us, you know the Lord. He is with you. He's fighting for you. He is the one you fear. He's the one you worship. Trust in Him because of the cross. His actions for you and for me. Let me pray for us. Thank you, Father, for Psalm 76 and the wonderful reminder there of who you are. That you are the God who dwells with His people. That you fight for us. That you defeat our enemies. There is no one like you. You alone are to be feared. You alone are to be worshipped. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for opening up the way home for us. By those nail marks and that spear mark, we know that we can be saved. Thank you that you wear that today as your belt of victory. Please help us remember that when we're under pressure and the world pushes in on us. Help us remember your glorious belt of victory. Amen.